Check, check, 1, 2.
I don't know how I look because I'm not wearing socks. My feet are like, I don't know. I almost need a blanket. I don't know how to sit.
I don't know how to sit either because I have like my stomach's hanging out. You're so much cuter than I am. I can't even see myself because of the display.
I'm just going to enjoy. Can you see me? I'm not going to worry about
how I look. Or you can't even see because you're not even wearing glasses. You can't see that far. The screen's this big.
I just burped.
Should we just, hold on, let me stretch this, ring it over here.
Okay.
Is that good enough?
So is it recording now?
It's recording, but are we talking loud enough? I don't even have my computer. I got to grab that because read from it.
Hurry and go get it. Do I tell them about last night first?
Well, should we have a proper introduction?
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast.
Okay, while Jared's getting his laptop situated, I woke up feeling on top of the world today. So for the past week, I have been probably not very enjoyable to be around, a little blue.
I was going to say, it's a stark contrast from what has been going on.
Yeah, I've just been a little blue, down on myself. And then yesterday, I caught what June has. I had like the 24-hour bug. Throwing up all day, so sick. And I still feel kind of sick today, but I woke up and I was like, I will do anything. I will do anything as long as I'm not like feeling that way anymore. Like it was the worst feeling. And now I'm like, great. I'm happy. I'll cook. I'll clean. I'll take care of the kids. I'll do whatever. Because
he's like a cat.
I feel good now. It's just bummer.
You're a cat.
Sit down.
Did you see him just like all over me? He's getting off. Like
he's a freaking cat.
Pick a spot, dude. You can come up here. It's fine. Penny loves this couch, by the way.
We wouldn't be able to film at all if Penny was in here.
Well, she would be everywhere, all in our faces and everything.
She's a forever 2-year-old.
And I love it. I love Penny. Speaking of being sick, can we talk about Penny for a second? That was a sad day.
Jared and I had to have a conversation before we went to the vet.
Well, we just didn't know what was going on, but we're like, what if this is the end?
Like, what if there's like, are we going to do a however much surgery? Are we like, what are we going to do if something bad happens?
And the answer is yes, of course we would. Like
for sure.
Because Penny is so special to us. But Penny, it was in an instant. Just, we woke up one day and she looked sick.
She looked so sick. She couldn't sit. She was like not moving. And when she would sit, she'd start like whimpering.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, we need to get her in now. Like something's going on.
It was a Saturday. So our normal vet was closed. So I was like, Ellie, I am dropping everything and I'm taking my dog to the vet. And we went to the vet, or I went to the vet, and I sat in there for a little bit. And, you know, she would have these brief moments of like looking up at me and like, I don't know if I feel so good. And it's like you communicate with your dog when they give you those looks.
100%.
And I'm like trying to communicate to her, everything's going to be okay. I will take care of you.
Well, she did get a little pep in her step when you took her.
Yeah.
I think because she knew.
She's like, oh, I'm getting in the car. We're going to go somewhere fun. Yes, I'll enjoy this. But you see, you know, Ellie posted a picture to Instagram of her when she was in the car and she was...
She looked like a sick old woman.
But she had like a little like pant on her face, a little smile. So it was kind of sad. But anyway, long story short, they ran tests. They did x-rays labs will eat anything.
And I thought maybe she like ate a plastic pool toy. Maybe she's just like really sick.
Because a long time ago, like long, long time ago, should I even say what my old dog ate?
Oh, for sure.
She ate, when I was a kid, my dog ate a tampon and it expanded in her stomach and it nearly killed her. So I was so worried about something to that effect that Penny had. Luckily, the x-rays revealed that she had just massive constipation.
which we were so shocked. We were like, we feed her the best of the best food.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I guess it just kind of happens.
I don't know what caused it. Her diet hasn't changed. It was literally a surprise. Luckily, they gave her some medicine to help pass everything. She went poop like 5 times in the span of an hour. And just
24 hours later, she was perfect.
So Ellie was feeling sicky, still kind of is. Yeah. Penny was feeling sicky. And I'm
Junie's
just knocking,
taking a nap. She's feeling sicky.
Yeah. I'm just knocking on wood that I haven't felt sick yet.
We cannot get sick.
Nope.
We can't. And I got to get better because we are going on our first ever since Junie was born. Our first overnighter together.
Like this is a pivotal moment. This is like a marriage like hill that you cross over. It's like the first date without the baby.
Yeah. I mean, we've definitely had a date now without her, but like an overnighter, I'm very excited. I think June will be just great.
Yeah.
I had our sitter come over and try and put her to bed herself without me. And it was a little chaotic.
It was chaotic, but it's the sweetest thing. And we'll tell you why. She had a hard time. You know, we had the monitor. We were doing stuff in my office, which that is another story for another time, by the
way. And she knew we were like here, like watching. Like we told her, we just want you to try just to see how she does with someone else.
So June gets comfortable with a babysitter putting her to bed. That was the goal. So she knew that we were going to be like, hey, here's some tips. This is what you do. She was having a hard time. And, you know, June is just the sweetest little baby. So that was kind of surprising. But, Calvin heard that June was having a hard time going to bed. And so what Calvin did was Calvin went in the room with her and Calvin started rocking June and she instantly stopped crying.
Yeah. It's wild because I'm like, June is so good. Like she goes for a nap. She goes to bed. She sleeps so long. She literally is such.
Oh no, my home automation stuff. Hold on. Okay. For those who are just listening on the podcast, I have an automation in my office. If there's no movement, that it will turn off the lights.
I'm so sick of this. Oh my gosh.
Keep talking because I will fix it.
Well, she's just such a good baby, but the reason she has a hard time with other people is because she's used to us. You know, she's used to mom and dad putting her to bed. So I really wanted to try that before we actually went on an overnighter. And I'm really glad we did. That's the end of the story.
You're going to have to keep going because I am trying to figure this out. Say what we're doing on the overnighter. That'll be fun. Not that part of the overnighter. Ellie, get your mind out of the gutter. Where are we going and what are we doing?
I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this for 6 months. We booked it when June was just little. And it's just an overnighter in Vegas. One night we're going to go with our friends. We're going to do dinner at Din Tai Fung. It is our favorite restaurant. And then we are going to do a show. It's like a comedian.
Do you know who the comedian is, Ellie?
No.
Nate Bargatze. Did you forget? It's like we've been looking forward to this for months.
I guess
literal
I didn't
months.
Even remember what comedian it was.
Nate Bargatze. He's the greatest. He's so funny.
I'm so excited.
I don't know what's happening. I'm just
going to... Here it is.
No. Occupancy is detected in the office. We're going to disable this automation.
So we're going to go see that, and then we'll probably do a little shopping and then go home. So I'm excited. I want to like feel cute, wear a cute dress.
I'm here. I'm listening, but
I'm
going
to get off my butt and I'm going to go... Oh, there we go. The light's on.
There we go. Okay. I am so sorry about that.
Holy cow.
So yeah, that date, the whole babysitter extravaganza, getting the baby to bed is all in an effort so we can have this overnighter to go see Nate Bargatze, which we are super excited about.
Yeah.
Our friends are going. We're going to have some fun in Las Vegas. Din Tai Fung. You already mentioned all of these.
Yeah.
Things.
Let's get into the podcast.
So today we wanted to talk about one of our favorite topics, which is marriage.
I love marriage. I love that I have a forever best friend.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the things is talking about best friends and marriage and those types of things. But really, there are a lot of questions when it comes to marriage, our marriage, general marriage. There are a lot of myths. And so today we are going to be talking about myths in marriage and we are going to debunk them or talk about these
myths. Give our opinions.
Yeah, give our thoughts. I think it's very important to say this is based on our marriage.
Yeah, for sure.
We are not professionals when it comes to relationship advice, marriage advice. This is just our experience and what has worked for us. And I think it's gone pretty darn freaking well. Boom,
How
baby.
How many years this year?
14.
14 this year?
Wait, 2009?
Is it 15?
In November, it'll be 15 years.
That's a big deal. Where are you going to take me? Where are we going?
Ellie, 15 years, that is such a long time.
We're kind of to the point now where we really need to start making our goals for our 20 to 50 year, not like
I'm flabbergasted.
2 to 10, you know?
Like 14 was like, wow, that's like really good.
No, 15 feels is like a lot.
That's almost a quarter of a century. 25. I mean, not really. Nope, it's not even close.
Okay, let's get into these topics.
Anyway, okay, so here's some marriage myths, and we want to talk about them. So myth number one, married couples should do everything together. Give me your thoughts now.
Well, of course not, because that's unrealistic. But I do think that married couples should do more things together than most people do.
Yeah. Ellie and I do just about everything together. And I love it. I'm really grateful for it. I mean, we work together. We go to the bathroom at the same time.
I mean, obviously, that's kind of a dumb thing to me. That's like a dumb question. Well, I think obviously, you can't do everything together. I do think you should strive to do a lot of things together, though.
Yeah, I think it's important to have time together, you know, allocated just for you two. But I think the question is like, hey, I'm going golfing. Are you going to come? Is that, that's kind of the thing. Like, would, is that where I'm going out with friends? Are you coming too?
No.
Yeah, I think.
Because I wouldn't want to.
Right. I think there's definitely times where it's important to do things together, but also it's important to have time away from each other, right?
I also think that when you want me to come, if you like wanted me to go, I'd be like, okay, even though I like wouldn't want to.
I think
there's times in a marriage where I've seen this a lot, unfortunately, with especially women, where it's like, oh, it's always my family. It's always this. It's always this. Mm-hmm. And it's like the husband never gets a say. To me, that's not, I don't think, very fair.
Yeah. I think when it's not balanced on purpose, I think that's when it's not fair. I think there are times where it's intentional that both parties are, or like husband and wife are like, I don't want to spend that time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's different. But I think obviously it's pretty easy to say that couples shouldn't do every single last thing together, right?
You are the exception.
I'm like, okay, Ellie, we just
are obsessed with each other.
I mean, it's kind of true.
We live a different lifestyle. Okay, next question.
Well, I think we have to justify that a little bit. Sometimes. I love spending time with Ellie, and if I could choose to have Ellie there with me, I would choose to have her with me.
And I would agree. Same with you. Yeah. But we also obviously like our separate time.
Okay, here's a really good one that I think a lot of couples can relate to. Myth number two, you should never go to bed angry.
Okay, I would say the first major part of our marriage, I would say you shouldn't go to bed angry. Now with four kids, we're tired.
We can handle that tomorrow. We need our sleep.
We say that shit to each other. It's like, peace, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm tired.
I truthfully think if it's possible, yeah, try not to go to bed angry. If you can resolve the problem that's going on. I hate going to bed angry. I hate it. Ellie and I are the couple that if we can solve it, we're going to. And we typically will solve our problems pretty quick. And I think that goes a lot to us not worrying so much about our ego. I don't want to have the pride where it's like, look, I know in some situations I'm wrong. And I hope that in some situations, you know, you're wrong. And if we can just admit that, apologize and move on, I think it's good.
I would say that is one of our very good qualities.
Yeah.
I do think we are very quick to see the other side and be like, oh, okay.
I think Ellie and I have a talent of putting ourselves in other people's shoes, especially our spouse's shoes. And I think that's helpful. I think generally speaking, guys have a hard time swallowing their pride. And that's why a lot of people go to bed angry is because they have a hard time just admitting that maybe they might be wrong, or maybe they need to help a little bit more, or, you know, things like that.
I could see both sides.
There have been times where we have gone to bed, actually not to bed, where we have not solved the issue. And it's like, okay, I'm going to go sleep on the couch because I don't want to be in the same room as you right now.
We've done that very little.
Twice?
Literally less than five times in our marriage.
Yeah. Two or three times, maybe.
Very little have we done that.
Sometimes,
I think we've gotten very like, you know what? I'm done. I need space.
Sometimes it's because, hey, I'm sick and I know that if you're going to be in the same room as me, you will not sleep. So try and sleep somewhere else.
I will say that if we have gone to bed frustrated, we still always, we are able to compartmentalize it. Mm-hmm. And we're able to still be like, good night, love you. Like,
yeah,
we're able to still communicate with that, which I do like.
I think one of my favorite things is when you still have a little bit of humor when you're upset with each other. Ellie's really good at that.
Jared laughs so much at me and I'm happy.
Because like it's obviously like there's contention going on right now, but Ellie will just drop a joke that shocks me and surprises me. And I'm like, that came out of nowhere. That was hilarious. And I love that so much. It kind of breaks the ice, breaks the tension, and allows us to like circle back and be like, you know what? Like, this isn't as big as it should be. Like, let's solve this. Oh,
that like makes me smile.
Oh, I love it so much. I love when I make Jared laugh. Good at it.
Because when I make you laugh, I make you laugh.
Yeah. You're good at that. You're so funny. Okay. Myth number 3. Having children will strengthen your marriage.
That is false. 100% false.
I disagree. I think it can be true. I don't think it's a blanket statement. I think it depends.
I don't think it's a let's have kids to strengthen our marriage.
No, I totally agree with that. Not true. I totally agree with that. Yeah. But would you say that our marriage is stronger now that we've had our kids?
I don't think
you hesitated and I was looking for an absolutely.
I don't think our marriage would be stronger because we had kids or didn't have kids. I think I do think because we have experienced children together and raising them, it has brought us closer together.
Right.
But and I think that if we didn't have kids, we still would have a very strong, good marriage.
I don't think it would be any less strong if we didn't have kids. But I think the whole point of that is because you have kids, you go through these experiences, trials even.
You lean on each other.
Yeah. Yes, think of the infertility experience we went through. I would say
our marriage is stronger because we have kids.
Yeah. Like we literally would, you know, for lack of a better word, trudge through the mud with each other to come out together better, stronger. You know, we went through all of these things. We had the sleepless nights. During those moments, would I say our marriage was like strong and perfect? No, we were like, anything after midnight and before 6 a.m. doesn't count when you have newborns, right?
Oh, we say that all the time. Not even newborns, just kids.
Yeah.
Like words fly at midnight at 2 a.m. And it's just, you're just saying whatever comes to your mind and we don't take offense. Literally, we say some of the things. Yeah.
I think it definitely goes to say that, you know, your marriage won't be stronger if you decide to have kids, but like going through the experiences together can, in one way or another, strengthen or hurt your marriage. I know a lot of people, because they have kids, it hurts their marriage, which is so unfortunate. But I think as long as you have common goals and ideas and you're on the same page with things, it can absolutely strengthen your marriage. And I'm so glad that it has for us. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. I was getting worried there for a second that you're like, no, I think our marriage would have been stronger had we not had kids.
No, I was just thinking if for people that don't have the option or couldn't.
Oh,
or
yeah.
If we didn't, I think our marriage would still be good.
Absolutely.
But you're right. That wasn't the question.
Yeah. I was going to say that might be a little bit different of a question, but that actually leads us into our next myth, which is a good marriage doesn't require hard work. Marriage is easy, right?
You know, of course marriage requires hard work.
Yeah.
Everything you do in life requires hard work. I swear it's like just time management.
Which I suck at.
I think everything, you know, requires effort.
Yeah.
Some marriages are easier than others. And I'm so glad that ours has just always been easy.
Yeah.
I mean, not easy in the sense of like everything's all great, but just we communicate easily, so it makes our marriage easier.
And I think that goes back to the ego thing, because our egos aren't too strong and we're not super stubborn. We're able to go with the flow with things. And we've always said this, when one person is down, the other person picks up the slack.
Yeah.
And I think we're really good at that.
I think it's our personalities too. Cause it's like, think of like when people remodel or, you know, build a home or any scenario, but specifically like building a home. It's like, we've heard from multiple builders, it's really hard sometimes because people aren't on the same page. They bicker, yeah. they don't like the carpet or the tile and they butt heads.
One spouse will want one thing and the other spouse wants something completely different.
And I feel like me and you have always, with everything, really has been very similar. Mm-hmm. And both of us have been really good to be like, it's really not that big a deal. Okay, you can have what you want. Oh, it's not that big a deal, Ellie. You can do that.
And there are definitely times where it's like, this is a big deal to me. I would like to have that. And you have said that as well.
Yeah.
And we allow that. I definitely think there are things where if something is really important to me, that you're very nice to, like, quote unquote, let me have that. And same for you. If something's very important to you, I think we're good at that balance, you know, mm-hmm. as taking turns in that way, which I think helps. But I think marriage in general is like living with someone who has a different thought, different opinion about things can be difficult. It's just so happens that a lot of the things that we think about and believe are the same or very similar. So that doesn't make it hard. Smooth.
So yeah. When I'm like, oh, it's easy. It's not easy, but like it just has come easier for us, I mm-hmm. think, because of that.
And has it taken work to get there?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, it takes work and effort, especially when you do have kids.
Yeah.
Like we have always made it a priority to date each other.
Yes. And the kids know that.
Oh, yeah.
We, you know, it's like, hey, we have date night. The kids know to expect that. It happens. We try to do it once a week. It doesn't always happen, but I think it's important for your kids to see you guys date.
And when the kids go to bed too, it's like our kids, we are so strict for so many years because they were little. It was like 7 o'clock, you're in bed. And people thought we were crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. I need time with my husband. And now that our kids are older, they don't go to bed at 7. They go to bed at like 9 or 10. But I still will put them to bed and I'll say like, Dad and I need time together now.
You don't have to go to sleep. Just, you know,
for sure.
Hang out
and
in your
they
room.
Come down still and whatnot, but they know that like I have time with Dad, like Dad needs time with me, and they'll come down and they'll be like, you guys are in the hot tub. I'm like, yeah, you got in the pool yesterday. It's our time. Like, I don't know. You're making it seem.
Sorry. That's inappropriate.
You're making it seem.
No, having one-on-one time is important. Having date time is important.
Throughout and my own alone time.
Yeah.
Like I sometimes want to just go watch a show by myself.
Yeah. Well, you think of the Bluey episode where the mom is just completely overstimulated and she says, hey, I need 20 minutes where no one interrupts me. Okay. Got it. Loud and clear, mission accomplished. You have your time, don't get bothered. Or kids, don't bother mom. I'm not gonna bother mom. She needs that time. And I think individually you need that. And as a couple, you need that.
Yeah, for sure. And the kids need that.
Yeah. Kids need their own space
too.
They
need their space and time.
Absolutely. Should we jump to the next one?
Sure.
Myth number 5. Your spouse should be your best friend.
I think it's gonna be a really sad answer if people say that's a myth. I think they should be your best friend. That's your partner.
I think if your spouse isn't your best friend, that could be really, really hard. I almost feel like, because I consider some of my friends like best friends. I feel like you're a step above my best friend. like you're
well,
my...
Yeah, you get to sleep with me.
You're my best friend. Like you're my best friend.
I would not want me... to use my bum to warm up on your bum at night when we cuddle.
When we
with
cuddle.
With anyone else.
Our butts
our
are touching.
Touch.
And that's how we keep warm. I mean, we'll talk about this like another time, but like you have the, you know, the first year of marriage where it's like,
you're
or the first 10 minutes of sleep, you're like entangled and then you separate because you want to be apart from each other. No, Ellie and I are like this all night
long.
Yeah,
even when we turn, it's like our legs are intertwined. We're like, wait, where are you?
But the fact that I can confide in you anything where I wouldn't with some other best friends, like, I think that's really important and special to have that communication where it's just so important to me. And it's like, I value that so much. It's so important to me to have you as a companion. Are you yawning at these statements of love?
I am very tired.
You are. And you have not been feeling well.
Not yawning other than I'm just listening.
I think it's a different kind of friendship when you think of the word best friend. Like you are, I mean, soulmate sounds more appropriate. Like spouse sounds more appropriate. But having you as my best friend means everything in the world to me. We talk about this often to each other. I don't know how I would live without you. I know how I would live without my other best friends. I don't know how I would live without you.
Same. You are my soulmate. Truly. Like Jared and I truly were like, I think we knew each other.
When we saw each other, it just clicked.
Like, I swear it was like fire.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yep. Successful couples have the same interests. Well, that's interesting. I think a lot of the interests align. A lot of the goals align. They don't necessarily all have to be the same.
What was the question?
Successful couples have the same interests.
I don't think that's true. I think there's tons of successful people that both are completely opposites of each other.
Right. But
I think most marriages are opposites of each other.
Mm-hmm. But I think the foundational layer of your goals
would overlap.
They would have the same interests. But I think like in terms of hobbies, I think Ellie's hobbies are completely different than my hobbies. Oh. Ellie, I mean, she likes Mario every once in a while.
Jared's like sitting here trying to name my hobbies. He's like, oh.
Do you remember when we tried to get you into stained glass and that stained glass set sat in our storage room for 3 years and you didn't touch it?
No, I didn't. I had a little mental breakdown and thought I'd do stained glass and I never did. So
I really want you to have hobbies, like more hobbies.
I don't have time.
I know, but I think it's important.
I don't have time.
I want you to create time.
And I think a therapist would tell me, of course you have time.
It's all about scheduling.
Yeah.
And time management, yeah, which you are very good at.
And that's why I was blue this week is I started working out and I got migraines back to back and I haven't had migraines in months and months. And
it was the only thing that changed.
I just bawled because I was like, you know what? Like I try to do something for myself. It's not working out. I just was upset.
It's hard. I really want you to have hobbies because I want you to have an escape. I want you to have the same thing that I do when I hang out with my friends.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's really important
to
me because I think, but I think you can only have so much of that. And it's like, yeah, we have the kids to keep us busy and everything. But I think being able to escape into your own world, whether it's reading or, you know, I don't think TV is a good like hobby as an escape.
It's just
because it's not. Like it's not mentally stimulating, you know, and not a lot of the stuff that
I can't watch The Bachelor.
No, I think you can watch The Bachelor.
You know
I think that's so fun. I don't watch The Bachelor as much as I should with you, but I think it's important for you to have that time by yourself.
I know. Hey, I know what you mean.
I really want you to have something. I think it would be really cool if people gave suggestions on what would be a good hobby for you, especially if they came from a place where they didn't really have hobbies.
I would love that actually. So, I would really like that.
So, you know, send Ellie a message on Instagram or comment on the YouTube video. But I came up with the idea of like crocheting or knitting because I've seen a lot of people pick up those things.
Can you hear my eyeballs rolling to the back of my mother?
Maybe that's not a good idea, but we know people that love
knitting.
That.
I am not knitting.
Okay, what about crochet?
No, I'm not sitting home and doing something.
Ellie like wants to be moving all the time. Unless she's watching The Bachelor, right? Would you say?
I don't know.
Next myth.
Don't go to bed angry. Next question.
Don't do a podcast angry.
Next question.
Myth number 7, marriage should always feel romantic.
When you say always, it's like kind of, it makes it feel like a dumb question because it's like, well, it can't always be. Like, that's not realistic. However, we strive to have our marriage be romantic.
Yes.
We go to the dump and it's a date. We go to the grocery store, it's a date. Everything we possibly do together, we try to make it like a bonding moment.
Yeah.
Everything we do together.
You take a menial task and you assign it meaning. I think that can actually help. Going to the grocery store, if you call it something and make it something, it will be that something.
We're not buying extra candy and flowers because we go to the grocery store and say it's a date. We just really enjoy our time together doing it.
Absolutely.
Like cleaning out the garage, we actually enjoy being together and cleaning it out together.
Mm-hmm.
So like when we are together, we strive to have it be romantic.
We strive to make it fun. We strive to make it an experience that will
and
not be
that's
a chore.
Very important.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, I think there's definitely times where it's like, okay, this is business we have to attend to. And then you have your other times where it's like, this is business we have to attend to. You know what I mean?
And I think it's really important that you do that because when we are like most of the day, like with the kids or dinner, it's like, it is chaos. And we're all just kind of running around trying to like keep our family, you know, organized.
Yeah.
And so when it's just us, it's important that we try and have that, I think.
Absolutely. I agree.
And I think we both make efforts to do that. I think it is sad when there is a marriage and one person never puts the effort in.
Right.
So that's very draining for the one partner to always up. Be doing it. And we see that we yeah. have, I mean, that is,
there are moments in, I would say every marriage where that happens, yeah. whether it's intentional or not, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it's accidental. I mean, I'll admit that I'm a culprit of that. Sometimes I don't pick up enough, not just pick up like things, but pick up the slack more or less. And Ellie has quite a bit. And sometimes that happens in the reverse. I'll admit that it's not as much. Like you do, I know you do more than I do when it comes to that kind of stuff, because I'm trying to do other things that help in other areas. And I think that's, you know,
balance. It's hard, but yeah. that's why you constantly need to be having like
communication
check-ins.
Yeah.
Like and constant, like it kind of baffles my mind that it's like, wait, people don't know about, like, you have no idea about your finances. You have no idea about this. You have no, it's like, I think it's very important that we check in, like our household is run and our, like I just think everything needs to like be cohesive and like yep. you need to know about things in your marriage.
Absolutely. Do me a favor real quick. Kind of just rotate your mic so it's pointing towards your mouth a little like bit that? More. Maybe tilt it up a little. There you go. That's better. All right. That goes into myth number 8. Happy couples don't fight.
Well, that's like, of course that's not true.
There was one couple that I know of. It was at church. And I believe it in full sincerity.
They never fight.
That they never fought. They were an older couple who were divorced from a previous marriage and they got remarried. And gosh, it had been 10 years or
so. Sweet.
And the question from the teacher was, you know, who can honestly say that they have never had a fight with their spouse? And they both raised their hand.
That's sweet.
I think that is like so sweet and so adorable. It kind of reminds me of like the, what's his name? Carl and Ellie
from Up.
It's like, that's what they looked like.
Yeah.
They looked like that couple.
Cute.
So sweet. But so happy couples don't fight. Yeah, that's totally a myth.
I do believe that happy couples probably don't fight very much.
But also happy couples fight, but can still be happy.
Yeah, you can fight and still be happy and have a great marriage. And it's
disagreements happen.
Yeah.
You know, fighting, quote unquote, happens. You know, there's things that have to be communicated and sometimes it doesn't happen on the timeline that you want so that it escalates. But that doesn't necessarily mean your marriage isn't happy. Well, you know, I have a very happy marriage.
Actually, I am thinking there could be some marriages that don't fight at all, but they're not happy.
Yeah, because they don't
talk.
Yeah, they don't just not fight. They don't talk or communicate.
Yeah, so
I think some of these myths are like very like, well, duh.
Dumb, but also... It's fun to do.
It's also fun to have the perspective because we have one perspective and in our eyes, it's like, well, yeah. And then other people, it might be eye-opening to hear that does or doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Myth number 9, couples therapy means your marriage is in trouble. This I think is a really,
this is a fun question because, I did quite a bit of years of therapy and it was mostly just for me and my anxiety and I just was really adamant that like, I don't want to live with like anxiety forever. I'm prone to it and I'll probably always be like more susceptible to it, but I really wanted to work on myself. And there were a few times where she's like, I think Jared could benefit from this, like having him hear what you're saying.
Yes.
And so Jared came into like what, 3 to 6 sessions?
Yeah. I was going to say like 5 or 6 sessions.
Over the course of years.
Yeah.
Like he only came to a few of them and it was very eye-opening for Jared to be mm-hmm. like, oh, like, and I think things did shift when you
yeah, absolutely.
Could hear what I was saying to her, what she was saying back to me.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the things it was like, oh, I didn't know because maybe you didn't express it in the words that I would be able to interpret it and understand it normally. Because if something like that happened, maybe it was under stress or high emotion. So it was hard to communicate what you were actually mm-hmm. wanting versus what you were saying. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, couples, you know, whether you're fighting or not, couples therapy, I think is such a great thing to have, a great tool to have from a therapist who is very well qualified. And I think it's like goes back to that first, one of those first ones, will strengthen your marriage.
Well, and I feel like I will definitely recommend to my kids, like, I think it is wise to like do some therapy sessions together with your spouse or with your dating or whatnot. Like, I think it is really good because so many people come from different backgrounds when it comes to like the big things that make marriage really hard, like money, sex, religion. Like, there's a lot of things that like, if you're not asking certain questions, they may come up later and then it may like throw you
absolutely
a big curveball.
Yeah. And having the skills that some therapy offers to navigate those situations, you only get it when you do those things, when you go to those classes or sessions. So I think it's a great tool to have at your disposal. And if you go through a session, you find out that you and your spouse both don't need it any longer, then that's great. Yeah. It's just
and you
giving
change
you the tools
over time. Like, I am not who I was 10 years ago.
Right.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
At all. Like, so many of like my thoughts, the way I act, the way I react.
I have to say, I am so proud of who you have become. I loved Ellie 10 years ago and I love Ellie today.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing the growth that you have made, the changes that you have made because of the tools you have now, like, I am so proud of you and I love you and I feel so blessed and grateful to be married to you in those ways. Like, I really do. And I hope that
it's important to better yourself.
Yeah. And that's what, like, you know, it almost makes me feel like, gosh, should I have done that more? Should I do that more now? And I think there's different, like you said, phases of life where we're offered those opportunities or can do those things. You know, for me, it's like, gosh, I'm just trying to physically improve myself mm-hmm. with my hip. And that's been a struggle for years, even before we were married. So I think, you know, maybe there will be a time and season where I do that growth like you did. And I hope that I can be an even better husband and father, best friend. Best friend. Okay, this is the last myth. You shouldn't have to change for someone you love. I think with marriage, changing someone is impossible. As much as Ellie hypothetically wants to change me, she can't change me.
No,
I've tried. I have to change myself. As much as I want Ellie to change, I can't change her. She has to change herself. And, you know,
but I do think it is okay to be willing to shift if that could help better marriages.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think all marriages go through shifts and changes to improve the marriage.
I mean, literally we've had so many changes. Uh-huh. And I think that if you fight the natural changes that come at you, if we can work through those together, like, your marriage will be stronger.
Absolutely. I think so for sure.
But changes as in like, just let like have me change you. Yeah, no, that yeah. It doesn't really work that way.
I mean, I don't think any of us come perfect. There might be a couple out there. I don't know. I'd like to meet you so I could learn from you. But the fact that you shouldn't have to change for someone you love, I think we should always be trying to change and improve ourselves.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing, I think, is if you can improve yourself, then it'll prove right. Your relationships, it'll prove your friendship. What is something that you would be like, oh, I would like you to change?
Oh my goodness.
Like,
gracious.
I won't or couldn't or have already or whatnot.
Well, let me pull up my notes. I'm sorry. That's a bad joke.
Because if you want, I'll go first. Because
you're prepared.
Well, it's just something that we've talked about before.
I'd like to hear it.
It would be really nice if Jared could be more
organized
yeah. and punctual. Like yep. that would benefit us a lot.
I 1,000,000% agree. And I mean, I'm a techie guy. I like to have things digitally because I can search it so much better. So a lot of my files are organized really nice. But like my to-dos, my tasks, I feel like I will lose them in my digital clutter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I have to write stuff down. So what I've been trying to do is like write my daily to-dos on a yeah. piece of paper that I have in front of me. And like the last week or so, it's been really good.
It has been.
And I've gotten those things done. And the dopamine rush I get when I cross off one of those items on the list, oh my gosh, it's so good. And when all of the items are crossed off, oh my gosh, it's a party in my mind. The serotonin levels are amazing.
So why don't you do that every week?
I don't know. I get lazy.
Yeah, I hate the organization. What about me? Is there anything that I could improve, work on?
I think it's something that you have worked on a lot and you have gotten better on a lot. So don't take this personally. Yeah. I think maybe patience.
No, I think that's a great one.
Yeah.
It is something that I've worked on a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like you're not impatient. I think it's just like a,
you know. I am susceptible to being a very impatient person.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think we are all raised differently, and we take a little piece of what we had from our childhood, what we've gathered as we've grown up, and that shapes who we are. And so it's just a matter about breaking those, I don't want to say negative tendencies, but a lot of those maybe idiosyncrasies that we have, and we're trying to just improve ourselves, generally speaking.
Because I do love how easygoing you are.
Yeah.
And if you completely were what I am, that wouldn't be fun to be married to.
No, two high-strung people who are impatient and, you know.
And if you were more impatient, like that wouldn't be fun. We wouldn't be fun. Mm-hmm. So
there's a little yin and yang here, like a little type A, type B personality that I think bodes well to have in a marriage.
Very much.
And I think maybe just, gosh darn it, that's why we're so good together.
I appreciate you.
Oh my goodness. I love you. And you're like rushing to get out of here. And here I am. I'm just like is the baby
I'm
asleep?
Hungry. The baby's going to wake up soon. No, this was fun. I really enjoyed this.
I really enjoy sitting down and talking with you, because not only does it maybe give viewers a perspective into our life and our marriage and everything, but also gives me insight to what you're thinking about these specific things. So I love and appreciate that. And I'm grateful for it. And you know, hopefully, viewers or listeners learn something, but I think we learn things too.
Yeah. I think it's like a date.
Is that why we like podcasts? Cause it feels like a date. Absolutely.
It does.
Guys,
well, I'm excited for a date this weekend.
I'm so excited for Nate Bargatze. You know, I hope Ellie's feeling better. Penny's feeling better. June's going to feel better. Oh, it's going to be great.
I just really hope you don't get it.
I don't think I'm going to get it, because I have the mental fortitude to allow myself not to get sick.
You are so dumb.
I'm just like in the mirror, like, don't get sick. Don't get sick. It reminds me of Parks and Recreation, where he's like sweating so profusely and he's like, heal or something. I can't remember what he says, but it's so funny.
Well, I know yesterday in bed, I'm like, I'm telling my body to heal fast. Like, heal, damn it.
Like, oh no, I think he's like, get better.
It's amazing.
It's so funny. Literally one of the greatest shows, Parks and Rec. Guys, we got a lot of great podcasts coming up, so make sure you are following on YouTube, wherever podcasts are listened to, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, what have you. Hit that follow, subscribe button. We're grateful that you spent so much time with us. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening, and we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye. Another podcast in the books. A podcast in the books. We got another podcast in the books. Podcast in the books.